the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music, politics, or just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through, legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. See who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Woo! Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music, politics, or just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through, legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. See who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Woo!
I love you all so much.
Adam and Eve.
We can see you now.
I know. And thank God.
Yeah. That's generally the response we get from everybody, but we keep it clean.
Hey!
I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now. Yeah. Come on. Dance for me, baby. Uh-oh. You feel that? All right. Come on. Don't stop now. You done did it. Come on. Yeah. All right. Hold up.
Baby, no one crying.
That's right.
Shake it like that.
A little later, you know, life happens, things are going on, and then our special guest, oh my God, Jonathan Burke. How many of y'all watch Harlem? Let me know. Just let me know if y'all are hip. Amazing, amazing show. He's an amazing actor, and just a lot of good stuff coming down. Let me know what you have been up to. Did anybody watch that 5-hour, or was it just 2 hours, or I don't know how many hour long thing that that press conference that Biden had? It was like forever. I know, because I listened to it on my way home from work, and it takes me over an hour, and it was long. But what got me was the very last question was a two-part question. I don't even remember what the first part was. And he answered that part. But then when it got to the part about the student loans, he didn't answer that, and he left after all that time, you know? So I don't know if anybody caught the entirety of the situation. Maybe y'all could let me know whether or not he ever actually addressed anything having to do with student loans and that sort of thing, because I think that's important. I don't know. I mean, I didn't get to listen to the whole thing. I listened to parts of it. You know, I just don't know. I don't know.
I don't think this is the spot. Big niggas don't need heavy coats. They are.
So if anybody watched it, let me know, and I would love to, you know what anybody else thought about his speech. Did folks like it, not like it, feel like there was things missing or whatever? And if you're not really interested in talking about that, which I can 100% understand, because that shit gets tired and tiresome after all we've been through, just want to know how everybody's doing and what the hell is everybody doing. Somebody was getting, like, on my case because I don't go out as usual. People are always trying to get me out the basement. But it's cold as fuck, and everything is masked up, and, you know, it just doesn't feel usual. So, I mean, please, y'all tell me where I'm supposed to be going, what I'm supposed to be doing, if under the circumstances. Am I the only one? I mean, I get invited places, but honestly, with the COVID situation, I don't feel comfortable being around crowds. Could just be me. I don't know. I don't know. Y'all tell me. Tell me something. Anyway, I'm going to do what Javon liked to do. And since Tito Sadir, okay, is watching, I'm going to pull up his dope-ass song that Tito did. It's a song called Epic, and I strongly suggest that everybody purchase it. How about that? Check it out.
It must be something in the water that's got me feeling this good, y'all. We here. So if you with me, get your glass up and get your ass up.
Like love on my new shit.
New shit.
Everybody know I like new kick.
New kick.
Fucking up my people like a move brick. Then I've been on the block, not a new kid. Shut the fuck, don't wanna hear your nuisance. Bugaboo, why you gotta be a nuisance?
Bam.
2020-21 was a true bitch. Treated us like new phone. Who is?
Yeah, but never mind that. We're gonna make it through the rough times that. Gotta think in that, we never bounce back. Wouldn't be who we are without that. So yeah, if you in here, take a breath here. Live it up for the ones that should've been here. Let's celebrate. Jump with your glass up, now get your ass up. Party like it's the last one.
If you wanna ride, come through. Get lit with me tonight.
Come through.
Don't know what you were expecting, but it's sure about to be that big song.
If you wanna ride,
come through.
Get lit with me tonight.
Come through.
Don't know what you were expecting, but it's sure about to be that big
song.
Everybody here live on the gram. Everybody here ride for the fam. Everybody getting crunk up on it, having fun up on it like a merry jam. Roll it up, take a puff, this stuff got your boy like you know what we about to do. Though. High enough to dance on Pluto. I'm like, it's time for the percolator.
Hey, sexy baby.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm glad you made it.
Good to see you.
Outside is open, back. I hope you're vaccinated.
Got some shots,
so
right?
So far we've waited to get it in.
Frustrated
like we never been.
Never been.
Think the shit would ever end.
We'll never end.
Without a party center to win.
If you wanna ride,
come through.
Get lit with me tonight.
Come through.
Don't know what you were expecting, but it's sure about to be that big
song.
If you wanna ride,
come through.
Get lit with me tonight.
She can't get enough. She's the type all these guys dream about. But her heart is cold as ice. Ooh, don't be fooled by that pretty smile. Turns out she's not so nice.
She hates her children. She's a bad, bad, and she loves it. Ooh, but she can't control it. She just can't understand why I treat her like that. She can't get enough. Can't get enough, no. She can't get enough. Can't get enough, no. She can't get enough. She's a bad, bad, bad.
So what is everybody up to? Sandra, Misty, Sage, Sadir, what have y'all been up to? And for everybody who's listening, watching for the first time, let me just let you know, you are listening to WJBR Internet Radio in the Basement with Javon and Therese. Therese will be rolling through in a little bit, and we have a special guest tonight. His name is Jonathan Burke. He is an actor of an extraordinary show called Harlem, and he's also performed Broadway, just an amazing young man, and Mr. J is working, in case y'all didn't know. You know what, I can't say enough that this is you the show, and most of the time participate in the show, too, while you're working. That means the world to me. Just want you to know that, Mr. J. I always look for you in the comment section as a chatter box. That's what's up. That's the bomb. And Sandra's eating dinner. What you eating, girl? What are you eating? Let me relate this story to y'all. Let me just let y'all know what happened to me today. Usually I try to make something, a little something, so I could bring it to lunch, for lunch to work, right? Today I decided I was going to go and get a hero, like a sub, because I didn't make anything, right? Get the sub, go into the little room they call a lounge. Only two people could be in there at the same time, but whatever. Set it up open so that the cheese could melt. Put it on a paper towel. Open up the microwave. Set it in the microwave. There's all this liquid and fluid and stuff in the microwave. Man, people just clean up after yourself. You know what I'm saying? I had to throw my whole hero away. I had to throw it away. What you eating? I bet you cooked something good. And then when I came home tonight, I had to hurry up and get ready for the show, so I didn't really get an opportunity to prepare something to eat. But I'd be interested to know what you're eating. And, yeah. Wondering what everybody else is up to. Because, I'm always interested in that, knowing what everybody else is up. Especially when my day was mundane. Olive Garden takeout. Woo, we all wish we could join you, too. That's what's up. That is what's up. You know what? Today is the birthday of a dear friend of mine. And so I think I will actually play a little bit of her music. Her name is Karen Wheeler. And she was the lead and still the lead vocalist of the group called Soul to Soul. Happy birthday, Karen.
Back to life, back to reality. Back to life, back to reality. Back to reality. Back to the here and now, yeah. Show me how, decide what you want from me. Tell me maybe I could be that for you.
I want to play a song, and you're not pregnant. You know what? I'm going to just skip over the part where you said hot celery means celery. That is hysterical. That right there is hysterical. I love that. That's what, see, you special, Misty J. You are special. That's all I'm going to say about that. This is a song that Karen had sent me a couple of years ago, and it's not like out there, like, it's sort of exclusive. So let me send you, actually, she sent me two songs. Let me send you this song that she did with this gentleman. I can't remember his name right now, but it's Karen Wheeler and another friend of hers. And, yeah, check this song out. Let me know what you think. This song is such a turn on for me.
Make it better.
Yes, now that's some exclusive Karen Wheeler right there. You ain't going to hear that nowhere else. And happy birthday, Karen. Happy birthday. Oh, wait, there's one more exclusive Karen Wheeler we could do. Just one more. I gotta give it up for my girl. You know, all the people who say yes to you when nobody knows who you are, but, you know, like, they want to give you a shot. They give you, you know, they befriend you. They take you in their house. You know what I'm saying? People that look out for you. Never forget those people. Even if you part ways. At least for me, that's my thing. You do me one kindness, I will never forget that kindness that you did. People, I don't forget the way people make me feel, whether it's good or bad. I always remember, and I don't allow the negative feeling to supersede the positive feeling. So let's just say, for example, somebody did something in my favor and then they turned around and did something that made me feel bad. I will still never forget the kindness that they offered me. That, to me, supersedes anything. Because people, everybody's human. And, you know, people do, things happen. And also, feelings aren't facts, although it's a fact that we feel, right? So anyway, I'm just saying that to say, you know, that there, I guess I'm at this reflective stage in my life right now, and I appreciate each and every person that comes through this show, each and every person that puts a comment in the comment section, anybody who calls. As a matter of fact, the line is open if you want to call in, 347-996-5394. Even the jackass that called the other night, couple of weeks ago, I appreciate that too. You took your time. Something about this show made it that important for you to Not that I'm inviting that kind of tomfoolery, but you found me. You know what I'm saying? You took time to do that. Yo, I can't. I'll never get over anything, you know? Thing is a lesson or a blessing. Thank you so much, Pop, for the compliment. See? Pop just made me feel good. Pop, you made me feel good. Uh-huh. Yep. People will be nice so they can take advantage of you. Some people will try that. Just because people try to take advantage of you don't mean that they will be successful in it. We are a family here. That's true. And sometimes we let people hurt us for years because they save us as a ham sandwich back when we still had a streetlight curfew. You know, I'm not taking it that far. You know, there are some good people that make bad decisions. And I'm not saying that just because I have a fond memory of somebody, they could come in my house and ramshack it and take all my money and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm not saying that. I think that I learned from everything. Let's just say that, okay? And I cherish every experience, good, bad, and indifferent. How you doing, LaVon? I didn't even see you in the comments. How you doing, sis? I think that there are some people who I knew when I was a kid, and I may not have had good feelings about them then, and they come through now, but I know you. Hey, what's up? That's it. It doesn't mean I got to still be, I'm not going to still be cranky. I prefer to hold on to the good stuff. I may not trust you with my life and all that. I mean, come on. You know, I'm grown. I ain't get this far being an idiot. And just, you know, it takes negative energy. If you hold on to it, that hurts nobody but you. You know, like I had to learn to let go of negative energy. Like I used to hold on to resentment and I'm going to get you back. I will hate you forever and for life. Man, that's the shit I let go. It's like a Bronx Tale where the kid owes Colosio $20 and see he's chasing him. Hey, give me my $20. Give me my $20. I'm gonna kick your ass when I see you. And dude tells him, look, do you like that kid? He's like, no. He says, well, it's worth $20 to get rid of him. He'll never stop by to you for another dime. He'll never bother you again. Just let it go. I let go of the negative stuff. You know what? Before I play Karen Wheeler, I want to play an exclusive that I got from CC Peniston. And it's a song called Sick. Check this out. This is fierce. And I'm not going to make myself sick over nobody. I'm sorry. I got enough shit right here on my own. CC Peniston, y'all, on WJBR Internet Radio.
Oh, baby. You broke my heart. The only thing I asked that you never do. Oh.
a third degree burn on my hands from holding on for so long. And to you, it's just another sad song. You were doing wrong about me. Now you left me here again, feeling sick and lonely.
Misty, you're scaring me, but I'm kind of curious.
Almost a month has passed, still you don't feel the past advice you've taken from your friends got you freaking crazy. And another holiday is gone by without a sentimental change. The truth will make them never go this long without a still head down. Oh, my love has always been stronger. No surprise you let go. Talking about a friendship that's been lost in love. I guess your love was never really unconditional. I'm sick with third degree burn on my hands from holding on for so long. And to you, it's just another sad song. You were doing wrong about me. Now you love me here again, feeling sick and lonely. And I'm so sick about it, baby. So lonely. Feeling so sick and lonely, baby. Yes, you do. Lonely, yeah. I don't ever really, really wanna feel this way again, oh. Tears running down my face.
So you priced them about the same. That was an exclusive CeCe Peniston song. The name of the song is Sick. And you probably could get it on iTunes or maybe on her website if she has a website right now. But that was CeCe Peniston. It was an exclusive. Yeah, that's... dope song, dope ass song. Is, you know, I was thinking about this and somebody had mentioned to me that I have like a lot of music by some artists that the songs never went mainstream, and from time to time I should play those songs, especially if I dig them, then other people will dig them. Well, that's one of them. CeCe Peniston, Sick. So as a single individual, I feel like Hellman's is telling me to put it in my pocket. If I buy the large one, it goes to waste. Why not just pay for the smaller one? It's not like a sample. Be careful with that, Misty. You know, tonight we have special guest Jonathan Burke coming through. We're very excited, very, very, very excited. The number to call in tonight is 347-996-5394. Just a reminder that you are listening to WJBR Internet Radio in the Basement with Javon and Therese, and this broadcast is licensed via Live 365 and covers listeners in the USA through Sound Exchange, ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC in Canada, through SoCan and ReSound, and the USA. And the UK through PPL and PRS for music. So, yes, it is Karen Wheeler's birthday, and must be some other birthdays today. But I know there's another birthday coming up. Why would I pay the large price for the small one? It's simple economics for things that are price-based, how much of it will be stolen. I'm not persuaded, LaVon. I hear that argument. I'm not persuaded. I feel like they're giving me a choice. I could pay $3 for the small one, or I could pay $3 for the larger one. I don't know. It's just me. I guess I'm overruled, outvoted, 2-1, 3-1. Oh, yes, we have to get on that. I've been working on the playlist. We've been working out some ideas, and exactly, this is what we need to work on. How much is bail? If the large one is $3 and the small one is $3, how much is bail? That's a good question. When is that happening, Pop? Do you have a rough estimate? Yes, we have a rough estimate. It will be around Valentine's Day. So I think in a couple of weeks we'll get it rounded up. We'll get it. So we're gonna have a show, see how it goes, and if it goes well, then we will figure out how often we want to do it. There's no bail for mayonnaise. Oh, see, I wouldn't know that. Guess they just let you out. They don't even arrest you, right? I don't know. Yes, let's do the details soon. What time is it? Okay, it's. We need a basement back room Zoom. And what exactly would we do in that back room Zoom, Sage? That's interesting. I'd like to know more about that. I would have to take at least $100 worth for them to make a move. I've worked loss prevention. Wow. I don't know. So, yeah, this is, since we're talking the sexy show, and since our special guest tonight, Mr. Burke, is sexy, we can talk instead of type. Aha. So, together, but not on air. Uh-huh, like a Zoom party. How you doing, Mrs. Matthews? So you're talking about like a Zoom party. I get you. Guess we could figure that out. All right. So let me know if this is sexy, this song. Because I was wondering, you know, there's sexy, today's sexy, and then there's sexy. I think everything is sexy. I don't know. Let's see. Nah, that's just old, right? No? I don't know. I don't know. You know, sexy, why don't y'all help me out here and send us a list of some of your sexiest music. Like what music gets you in that sexy mood? You know, y'all know how to reach me, right? WJBR, right? At JavonsBasement.com. WJBR at JavonsBasement.com. Hit me up with a list of your most sexy songs. Because I was just getting ready to play some sexy music, and I was like, that's not sexy. It's just old and slow. That don't make it sexy. You know? But, you know, sexy is different for each person. Zoom party sounds like fun. Well, yeah, that could be fun. Well, the plunger, the axe, that could be dangerous. The plunger and the axe. The plunger, I could get with the plunger, but the axe? Yes. Okay, I got you. I feel like anything by Avant.
Yes. Don't close the door. Listen. I've been waiting to tell you this. You are more than a man could ever want.
Yes, Mr. J, you bring the maker, the mail.
Listen.
Myself, it gets out of control.
This is like After Dark stuff. What's happening?
I need you, Rez. This is to keep us.
What does it look like she bought to cop the mayo? What does that mean? Or am I reading it wrong?
No, she's Rez looking like she bought to cop the mayo. I'm not exactly sure what she meant by that. I'm going to leave that alone. Misty was talking about, yes, Lilo Thomas, that's the man right there. Misty was talking about how there are some things that she believes that are put in place for her to just take them, to make them hot, like, just like, okay. Celery comes in bunches, but she's single, and she only needs one. So she's not going to buy the bunch.
Just take it apart.
The small thing of mayo is $3, and the big thing of mayo is $3.
I get it. About the cop, the mayo.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So she feels like you should be able to just, you know, confiscate that small bottle. Because the big one, you don't need all of that mayo. And I don't know, Rez, save me.
What is going on?
I don't know. I
come into cracking. What y'all doing in here? Is that the dark section?
Get them, Rez.
I got twisting peanuts and cracking pops and eggplants and mayo and plungers. What is going on? Peaches? What is happening?
You know, the plunger, that's an interesting concept. Crack my peanuts. All right, Pop. Well, I will say this. I'm very excited that you are here. How are you?
Excuse me. I am taking it minute by minute, literally.
That's okay.
I'm sitting here with one of my baby sisters. It's here from San Diego, California.
All right.
And my life is a series of phone calls at this point, but I'm hanging.
That's all right. And I got you. I got you. If I could put a smile on your face, I am good.
You always do. You always do.
As do you with me. You know? And as does our special guest tonight. Always. This brother is number one, cute as, you know, is that an insult to say that a man is cute? You know, I don't know. He's a young man to me. You know, I'm old. I could be his mother. You know what I'm saying?
Or I say beautiful.
His stepmother. Let me put it like that because, you know, I wasn't into no birthing babies and stuff. But I could be a stepmother. And he's adorable. And he's a good... Oh, my God. He's a great actor. Broadway. Big screen, little screen.
If he's doing Broadway, he's definitely got chops. You know?
Oh, my God. And, yes, he is. Oh, he is handsome. Pop has clarified for me. Don't be calling him cute. He's handsome. Okay, he's handsome.
And he's talented.
And extremely talented.
And on a great show. I absolutely love Harlem. I have to connect with my episodes, but I absolutely love it. I think the premise is amazing, and I have fun watching it. So, yeah, it's one of my faves.
You know what? Let's have fun then. Speaking with him. How about that? Let's get him on here. Come out the green room. There you go.
Hey, there he is.
How you doing?
I'm so good. Hey.
And birth in the buildings with people. Woo! Okay, so for those of you who have not or do not know Jonathan's face and been under a rock, y'all have to check out the show Harlem. It's amazing. It's super fun, you know, and he's doing his thing. And should I say it or should Javon? Javon, no, congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, we got NAACP Image Award nomination, Outstanding Comedy Series.
Yes, that is not easy to snag, you know?
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yes.
It came out yesterday, so this is fresh off the press.
Awesome. Awesome. Congrats.
So, wait, I don't know where you were getting ready to go, but I want to know, when you first heard it, where were you and what did you do? Were you going there, Rez? Was that
Yes.
I was actually sitting right here in my apartment, and I was on Instagram because a friend of mine's show also got nominated for Outstanding Comedy Series, Run the World. Risha Webb is a dear friend of mine. We went to high school together.
Wow.
And I saw that he posted it, and I said, hold up, let me look up and see if we got nominated.
Because I know if your show got nominated, my show should get nominated.
Well, you know, we want everyone to win. But I looked it up, and I saw it right there. And actually, I texted Megan Good, Jerry Johnson, Shaniqua Shande, the girls. We had like a group text, and I was like, girls, we're nominated. They didn't even know. They were like, what? So I told them.
That is amazing. So did you tell your family?
Absolutely, yes.
And what was the response? Who was your first call aside from your castmates?
My mother always.
Uh-huh. And what was her response?
Oh, she's like, that's wonderful. She's very, she's beautiful. I love, she's my absolute role model inspiration. She's everything to me. But she just was like so excited about it. So she's so excited about the show in general. She's just really over the moon. So
nice.
Good.
Congratulations.
She's probably watching out. Hey, Ma.
Hey. I'm sorry, Rezzy. What were you going to ask?
No, I was going to ask too. Also, that was one of them. Jonathan, great telepathy there. So, Jonathan, let's back up for a second. Let's like do some moonwalking. When did you first decide that you wanted to do the acting thing? When did it hit you? Where were you? Was it a school thing? Like, give us some of that backstory.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was literally like one of those moments out of like, I don't know if you're a fan of the the Jackson 5 movie about the Jacksons and when like little Michael sang on the stage and everyone went crazy.
I love that.
Literally, I had that moment. I love that movie, The American Dream.
Yes.
Anytime it's on, I will watch it. But I literally had that moment in sixth grade at Cardinal Sheehan School in Baltimore, Maryland. I was doing a musical called Motown Review that our choir director, like drama teacher, Kenyatta Hardison, had created herself. She had written this musical. She just kind of devised this musical about Motown. And I was playing Stevie Wonder, and I actually also played Michael Jackson. But in this moment, the specific moment was when I was singing My Sharia Moore, and I came out, started singing, and the audience started screaming. And I was like, oh, okay. And by the end, it was a standing ovation. The little girls were in the wings watching. I was like, my whole family was there, and they were shocked. They had no idea that I really could sing like that. They knew I could like sing around the house, you know, but they didn't know. And so it was a big moment for all of us. And from that moment, I literally was like, yeah, I'm going to be an actor from here on out. I love the applause.
Wow.
And so I called it like my time to just, you know, singing and acting from there on.
Yeah. And you got a theater background, so you have some chops because there's nothing like, and I tell people all the time, if you, you're not, well, okay, let me not say what you're not because that'll sound like a thespian. What I will say is that if anyone says that they are an actor and they do not do theater, because there is a big difference between live performance that you have to go out there every night, eight shows a week sometimes, grinding live and get it right every night because you have to, you can't explain it unless you do it. You know, it's one of those. Versus film that you can, you know, obviously cut, take, do over, you know, there's all kinds of wizardry that goes on. There's nothing like live performance.
That's right.
So,
thank you for saying that. I appreciate that because I feel like, you know, people don't always give theater the credit that it's due because it doesn't reach the masses in the way that movies and TV do.
Yes, I was going to say theater's responsible for that too because it's accessibility. They didn't make it accessible to the masses and purposely at one point, and they're paying for that, you know.
Right. It's time for revisions in the theater as well.
So Chris tells us that you chose acting over neurosurgery. Is that true?
That's my mommy.
That's your mom? Hi, Mom. Hi.
Acting over neurosurgery. Oh, wow.
When I was little, I was like, I was a straight A student like my whole life. So I was, you know, my friends used to make fun of me and call me the smart guy because we were like the same age and like looked alike and I had straight A. And so I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I got my mother, my aunts, my grandparents, they all would give me books about neurosurgery, Ben Carson books. Mind you, I was like 10, but I was like reading these books and I was like, I want to be a neurosurgeon. For sure. But then Motown happened and I was like, you know what? Maybe not. More fun. So,
That's major.
That's
a major twist.
So you got the brains, you got the chops, you got the beauty. What don't you do?
I don't know. I do.
I can do it all.
Honestly, I don't ask me to play sports now. I'm not that's not really my thing. Now,
not
I'm great at the gym.
Okay.
I love working out, but sports, leave that to my brother. Yeah, my brothers, they're good at that.
Wow, amazing.
My sisters, too, actually. They're amazing.
How did you adapt in 2020 under the COVID environment? Like, mm-hmm. how did you adapt being, you know, in the business? What were some of your go-tos that helped get you through?
Well, I spend a lot of time right here, right, and right now on Zoom doing a lot of, at first there was nothing going on. I mean, you know, as it was for everyone. But then, you know, when the Black Lives Matter movement really went full effect, there was a huge call to action for artists to kind of bring their voice to this struggle. And a lot of people were asking me to do monologues and songs and short plays and readings and things like that. So I was doing a whole lot of that was in support, you know, of Black Lives Matter, as well as in support of COVID relief too, like, you know, raising money for different organizations and stuff like that. So that was what I was doing in terms of like artistically. But personally, I was spending a lot of time with my close, we built our little circle here in New York, and we had our little bubble, and we would just spend time together that we never really get to spend because all of us are really artists. And so we're always working and, you know, unavailable here or there. So it was really nice to kind of reconnect with them, going to the park, like something we never do.
Mm.
Central Park. You rediscover the beauty of New York in a lot of ways during that time. And I was working out from home. I did keep that up. I'm a big, like I said, I'm an avid workout person, gym bunny. So I was doing that. And I actually really reinvested myself in writing. And I started writing. I created a scripted series that is starring me and two other friends. We wrote it together. We executive produced it. It's called Not Looking. And that was something that was really new and fresh for me to do because it was like, well, there's not anything out here right now. Let's create something so that when things are available, maybe this could be one of the new things that comes back out. So we've been developing this series. It's about three Black and brown best friends that are gay in New York City that make a pact to stay out of relationships for a year.
Ooh.
So you can imagine what obstacles come to play when you make that decision. Of course, everyone starts.
The universal test comes through.
Now, what would really be interesting is three Black lesbians committed to not being in relationships because, you know, honey, they need to be really attractive.
Yes.
That shit, they ain't, you know how one date, one sip of your wine and it's give luggage.
Did you really say that?
Yeah, I said the quiet part outside, up out loud. I don't know. Is it the same thing sort of for the guys?
I found recently that I've at least looked around a lot of circles of mine and people are getting into relationships much faster than I ever have seen in the past. Maybe that's because now like marriage equality is a thing, so people are like excited about the fact that you could get married. You know, so they're like, let's get engaged. I'm like, y'all just met a month ago. But, you know, to each his own. So I think it's less definitely in, you know, the gay world than possibly the lesbian world, but it's definitely on the rise.
That's a good thing. I think that's really a positive thing, you know, commitment.
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing.
So you get a baseline commitment to oneself, though.
Right.
You know, first.
Right. And that's what the series really comes to. Like, that's the main idea. You got to be right with yourself before you're ready for these other things. So.
Our friend Misty J says that's because the rent is high. That's why people get mad.
Yes. That is so true. I actually have really realized that people are moving in because they can't afford to live alone. They're just like, well, this makes more sense for me financially, so we're going to work it out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What do you aspire to do within, like, what would be your, if you could cast yourself in the next blockbuster, how do you see yourself as an actor?
I actually have this idea in which I want to play Prince in the biopic. And I think that that is deserved, you know, his story to be told. So that's something that always kind of comes to my mind. I love his music. I think he's just such an inspiration and so amazing. So that would be dope, you know. But I also would love something like original that's, you know, completely out of the blue, like a superhero or something, Marvel. That would be so fun. You know, I know that there was a recent gay superhero in The Eternals. A friend of mine, Brian, played this, which is amazing. But look, there can be more than one. I would play a gay superhero.
Right.
Now,
that would be dope.
We have all the superpowers without being called superheroes. We got the superpowers.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Hell, I think Prince was a superhero. I just, you know.
He was. He really was. Honestly, superhuman.
Yeah, yeah. But could you capture the shade? Because Prince was the master of throwing it.
Absolutely. I'm from Baltimore. There's a lot of shade.
Very shady in Baltimore. We love it.
Yeah.
And Mom is down with Prince. Mom's like, Prince.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you ever think of writing a piece about Prince yourself?
No, I hadn't really thought about that, but you know, since I've written a series, maybe I should venture into writing a film. I've never tried to write a film yet.
Yeah.
So that might be my next thing.
And you know, I think some people will start off with a one-man show and then develop it from there.
Right.
So that's just throwing it out there because, I mean, hell, you could do it all anyway. So I might even call out the basement for that one.
Hey,
I'd like to see you in an outfit with the butt cut out.
You know that's gonna be there for sure.
You know, I'd like to
I
see
love
that.
The gym. I've been doing my squats. I'm ready.
That's it. I know it's powerful. Bang. Excuse me, Mom. You know.
sorry
for that.
Well,
I'm just saying.
The punctuation part on Prince, so I think she gets it. Somebody tells me Mom is pretty cool and fly.
Yeah.
I could tell. Yeah,
extremely fly. So you and I have a mutual friend. I found out on Facebook.
Oh, who is it?
Someone I call the maestro, Dion.
With the last. Oh yeah, of course, Dion. We love McCraney.
Yes, McCraney.
Yes, we actually worked together recently. She wrote a beautiful song. For a duet for me and a guy, Jamie Tapero, about these black gay kings. And it's on an album of lullabies for queer families.
Wow.
Beautiful. Yeah, and the song is actually called The Beautiful Son, the song that she wrote. That is a beautiful ballad. And yeah, check it out. Check out this album if you can, The Beautiful Son. Yeah, Dion. We love Dion.
Dion is the bomb. She is the bomb. Yeah. She's been the musical director every time I did anything.
Oh, has she? Yeah,
yeah.
She's amazing.
It's like, okay, Dion, I need you to bring this music to life, please. You know, and she does. And just she's just incredible. So I as soon as I saw that you knew her, I was like, okay, this guy.
Yeah, I love that. Yes.
And I see some questions, one of which is, who inspires you in this business?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, the first person that really inspired me was Audra McDonald.
I'm a
huge fan of hers. She's, if people don't know who that is,
you need to look her up.
Most decorated Tony Award winner of a performance, individual performance ever. She is incredible, but she also does TV and film, all the things that I aspire for myself. She does. She's a black woman. And she is just incredible. She was one of the first people that I like looked up to and was like, wow, what she's doing, I could ever do that.
So I know you saw the infamous Billie Holiday then.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. She was so phenomenal in that.
Absolutely.
My God.
Absolutely.
It was spooky.
It was. From the minute she opened her voice at the very top of the show, the audience gasped. It was that surreal and eerie. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she is definitely one. Of course, you know, for the film, Denzel, like, the king.
He
showed all of us black boys that we could do it. I mean, before him, of course, Sidney Poitier, rest in peace.
Amen. Go right there.
Of course. the original, you know. But all those people just are all inside of me, and I'm trying to make them proud of what I'm doing and keep their legacy, you know.
How important is it to you to know your history? Or give me how you feel about knowing your history in your craft.
Oh, my God. I think it's so important. Excuse me. I studied, I got a BFA in theater, you know, from college. I actually went to performing arts high school prior to that. So I was always a student of the arts. And I think a lot of people, you know, think that you can just get up and do a film and you don't need to know where it all came from. But it adds so much to your talent when you know what came before you. And you know all aspects of the business, how they make a film, how you build a set, the lights, like all those things actually are really important as an artist to know what goes into it. So I think it's really important. And the legacy that you are leading, you know, to know those people that open those doors, you've got to honor them and speak their name and, you know, make them proud with what you're doing because they didn't do it for naught.
Absolutely. And if you, like, and I say that all the time, if you are in a certain genre, music, doesn't matter what it is, know your history. You know, you have to know, you know, if nothing else. Say again?
You learn so much from them. I mean, sure. They are the blueprint, really. I'm taking notes.
Right.
Absolutely. I'd like to just show a quick clip, and you can maybe tell us a little something about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the spot. Big niggas don't need heavy coats. They are heavy coats.
Trust me. Last year, I met Bingo here.
Bingo? Ain't no thin man named Bingo.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, girl. We wear Popeyes every night.
Oh, I love when they got a little grease in their beard.
Mm-hmm. You got anything bigger than a 3XL?
Girl, hey, Zip.
Hey, Stick.
Hi.
You want to lead this floor with me? Then cuddle up under a large blanket and eat some chicken pot pie on a hopefully plush couch in your apartment.
Or sip double syrup hot cocoa and stare into each other's eyes.
Wow, you really do have nice eyes.
Thanks. I was going to say your boobs are really great. Top shelf titties.
So, what's it going to be? Boobs? Or eyes?
Neither. I have a boyfriend.
That's not fair.
Oh, how do you expect us to find big niggas if y'all double dip like this?
It's not our fault you waited this late. It's like buying a Christmas tree on the 24th.
Get your plus-size fantasies away from me.
Whatever.
Now what? We hit Shake Shack. Big niggas love to eat, and they always got a combo.
Then Best Buy. The security guys at the front are always Jumbo Plus.
And we bring down every UPS truck we see.
Yes, girl. Come on. Hey. Let's go.
Love it.
Oh, God. I love Shaniqua Shande, who plays Angie. Oh, my God.
Her timing is impeccable. She's got impeccable timing, you know. And the two of you in that scene, the timing is wonderful. Definitely. Oh,
thank you. Perfect. We had so much fun. I mean, every time we were on set together, it was like a party, like joy, fun, love. That scene is definitely one of my favorites. We had so much fun. I mean, and actually, surprise thing, some of that, like, we improv some of that. So that's not, you know, a lot of the beauty of this series is that we were allowed to improv. So a lot of things you're seeing are things that we came up with on the spot. And we would say different things every take. So we were curious to see what they used in the end, you know, like the line about Popeyes. I made that up in the spot right there at that moment. And we were just playing on her, the grease in the beard. Like, she just made that up. Like, we were just going off of each other.
Nice.
So it's amazing you have someone that you can play with like that. You know, you feel so free. And it's so great. I mean, we got to meet each other via Zoom before we started filming because we had something called a chemistry read for my final audition because they had me and a couple other guys in the finals. You know, and then they had to have each of us read with her to see, you know, whose vibe's right? And from that day, that moment, as soon as we got on this camera, I was like, oh, that's my girl. Yeah, this is right. And it worked out.
Yeah. She's definitely a contender and absolutely impeccable timing. Like,
oh my God,
watching
man.
The series is fun with her.
Yeah, she's so fun. And that scene also, we shot in this shoe store in Harlem called Jimmy Jazz, which is a shoe store that I literally shop at. I lived in Harlem for many years. I still live in New York. I go there shopping. So for me to be shooting a TV show in that place was like a very full circle moment, and I loved it. I walked down the street and I saw friends, literally, it's on 125th Street. They were like, what you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm actually shooting a TV show. Like, I'm not just like, oh, wow, okay, you know. It was amazing.
Nice.
Karen and Jack, yes. Look, that's an honor. Look, to say that, they're my favorites. Oh,
absolutely.
My God.
And I get that.
Actually, Karen and Jack were amazing, and they are legendary, and that is quite a comparison. And I would have to agree that you guys have excellent chemistry together.
Thank you so much.
I can see you doing more things together. Hopefully, you know, if people knew how to cast well, you know, they would certainly, it'd be a no brainer to have you two paired up again, because the energy moves.
Thank you. Well, look, season two. We're hoping for season two. We get to see what else.
Well, who we got a nudge for season two? Is it held up somewhere? Like, are they making a decision? What's happening?
Listen, we're all waiting to find out ourselves. I guess we got to just make sure everyone keeps watching so the numbers are up and that they, you know, vote for us on the NAACP Image Awards. If we win, I'm sure that'll help.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. The nomination and the vote, the count for this show. It is one of the faves right now, and it really, really works, and it showcases us and people who look like us in real scenarios that are relatable, and it does not matter what your orientation is, it is a good show.
That's right.
It is a good show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Yvonne?
Well, what I was going to ask next is...
Okay.
Since you also love to sing, I'm assuming,
yeah,
because you were singing around the house, you sing Broadway, you sing, and you sang. Who, aside from Prince, are some of your favorite artists, and who do you listen to?
Oh, okay. Well, just now on the way here back home from the grocery store, I was listening to SZA. I love SZA.
Okay.
She's my girl. I love her right now. Like, the contemporary artist that I love, her, SZA, Jasmine Sullivan, which is, she's one of the greatest voices of all time. She's the top. But then I go back to, of course, the greats such as Whitney. Of course, I still listen to her on a regular. Sade, I was listening to her this morning. Aretha, of course, Stevie, no bad. I got to meet Stevie once.
What?
Amazing. Yeah, it was really amazing. He came to see a show. I was it. Opening night, I was in this musical. B.B. Winans wrote a musical about the Winans family.
Mm.
And I was in it playing one of the brothers in L.A. And all of Black Hollywood came through. Actually, Megan Good came to see it.
Wow.
Actually, well, I didn't know her at the time outside of being a fan. So I met her then. I actually didn't even tell her this. I have to talk to her about that. Stevie came. Oh, my gosh. Cicely Tyson came.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Quincy Jones, I mean, everyone came. It was incredible. But yes, those artists continue. India Arie is one of my favorites. Jill Scott, those two queens. And I can listen to them all day.
Sounds as though you've had some amazing experiences. So since you've, let's just say, become popular, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since you've been on... working Broadway and doing your own TV show, out of all of the experiences that you've had so far in your young life, which is the thing that's like, oh my God?
Well, it's tough. There's two that are real tight.
Okay.
One of which for sure is being on Harlem. Honestly and truly, it is an absolute dream come true. I had done so much theater prior, and I've been wanting to transition into doing more TV and film. And honestly, the pandemic forced me in a way into that lane, the thing that I had been wanting to do, because theater closed completely. So there was no option to go back to Broadway. So I was like, all right, this is the universe telling me, go do what you said you're going to do. There's no turning back. So I really hit the ground running with TV and film auditions, and I got to book Harlem, and it's truly one of my greatest experiences, because not only am I on TV, but I'm telling a story about us, like exactly what you said, Therese, this Black story about where I live currently, people I love, representing a character that's a part of the queer culture that you don't often see, a bisexual Black man on screen. I don't know many examples of that.
Right.
And that's being accepted by a Black woman. It's amazing. And that hopefully can open a lot of people's hearts and minds to the types of stories that we can tell about us, because it's limitless. So it's been really, really one of my greatest. The other most amazing experience would have to be when I made my Broadway debut in the musical Choir Boy, written by Terrell Alvin McCraney, who wrote Moonlight. He won an Oscar for Moonlight, if you guys haven't seen that.
Yes, I have. It's beautiful.
Amazing. And so he's a dear friend of mine, and I ended up being the leading role in this play on Broadway. And that was incredible because it was about a Black gay boy finding himself, his voice, and his place in society, coming of age, and in this all-boy private school. It was a dream. Because my initial dream was Broadway. That was my first dream when I was on that stage at Cardinal Sheehan. It was theater.
Take me here for a second. First dream, Broadway. Because Broadway is just not easy to get into, okay?
No.
You know, you have, I mean, so what was that like for you? How did you audition? Who sent you, you know?
Yeah. Well, so I got this BFA in musical theater from college. And at that school, it's a really renowned Ithaca College. It's one of the top arts colleges, you know, in the country. And so we had this thing called Showcase at senior year when you go to New York or LA and you perform for agents, managers, you know, and people in the industry to get to know you. So I did that, and from that, I got an agent. So that agent I was with for many, many years, and with that agent, they would send me on as well as me going on my own auditions. I would do my own auditions because, you know, you can't rely on somebody else to do everything for you. You got to do it yourself as well. So I was using their resources, mine, and I was auditioning. I mean, standing in line for hours and hours, all day long, 8 hours. To audition, and then sometimes they would be like, oh, sorry, there's no more time. We've seen everyone we can. Come back another day, or there will be no other day. Sorry. Like, this happened. I mean, you know, until eventually you start getting into those rooms and they start knowing you and knowing your talent, and then you book something, and then you do a great job with that, and then the word of mouth spreads, and they tell their friends, you should use this actor for this gig. And, you know, so it became a network. And it's been quite an amazing journey. I did four tours of Broadway shows before I ever made it on Broadway. So I was around the country doing regional gigs, off Broadway. And then finally, I made my Broadway debut with this actually, honestly, this is a crazy story. I don't know if you have time to tell it.
Yeah, we got time for you. Go ahead.
Okay, I made my Broadway debut in this musical called Tuck Everlasting. Actually, I got cast in this new musical, Tuck Everlasting, in the ensemble as a dancer. But the week before we started in the theater, I broke my foot in rehearsal.
Ooh.
On medical leave, consequently, for the entire run of the show. So I never actually got to perform the show because it closed within 1 month of opening. It wasn't a hit. Sorry. And so the week that I was to return to the show, I was healed. And they were like, oh, this is your week. You're going to start back. They got the closing announcement. And they were like, sorry, you're not going to actually get to go back. It's closing. That was kind of this crazy dream deferred shifting of energy and space for me. And I was like, wow, okay, what does this mean? Like, for my life, there has to be some lesson to be learned. There's something that I can get out of this.
Right.
And so what I got out of it was that I ultimately, in that show, was representing myself in a way that I actually didn't find was the way that I wanted to present myself as an artist to the world in its fullest form. And I mean that in the way of I was dancing in an ensemble of a show that, honestly, and I'm going to be very real, felt thankless to me. I felt underappreciated and undervalued.
Mm.
And I felt tracks were not being used to the point that they could be. And I said, you know what? What my Broadway debut is going to be is going to make me shine in all the ways that I believe to be true. I didn't know what that would be, but I knew something was going to come. And I was, it's going to be a story that means something deeply to me. And that was Choir Boy. And it was just that. It was beyond every expectation.
Wow.
You know, it was really, I was like, you know what? That's why that didn't happen. Because if I had done that, the Broadway industry would have seen me in a certain light. You know, sometimes they could put you in these boxes and they say, oh, he's just a dancer. He just, but the fact that I got to make my actual debut starring in a play with music sent a whole new message to the industry.
Can I pause you for a second?
Yeah.
Just for a second, because you dropping jewel bombs all over the place.
Yeah, really.
And you know, and you don't, I didn't want to have to do it that way, but I do want to say, and please, you guys, forgive me for moving around. Trying to get settled. I had to let somebody out. But you just said something that I want you to really, really, really understand its impact if you don't already. I don't know if you do. You'll tell me if you do. But you just said that you, and, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes, you know, in journey. You know, and we all have our own journey. But you mentioned something in what you just said was that you wanted to be represented in a certain light, you know, and you didn't think so. So you made every effort, you know, and I'm paraphrasing it, you know, there's a what he said versus what I understood it to be, mm-hmm. you know, was someone who took their time and decided, you know something, I'm going to revamp just so that I can present my package, you know, me in the best way, you know, because all of the reasons that you said after the fact make total sense. But the idea that you are following your bliss, you know, and you are purposeful and intentional with following your, not only following your bliss, but in a way that represents you, you know, is why everything else can line up to do the same thing for you, you know. Mm-hmm. You spoke about being on the show Harlem, you know, and what that felt like and how you were able to represent a bisexual male, you know, in a light that you can tell amazing stories about because they're not one-dimensional. And you know, in Harlem, you know, with some amazing – you have intentionally set up your career path, you know, by making claim to what you want, you know. My next question to you is, can you define in your own words what walking on faith is?
You know, thank you for what you said. That is very beautiful and spot on. That is exactly how I want to live my life and how I continue to. You know, this industry is so much about faith. I mean, honestly, the belief in self is so important, and knowing of self. So when I was able to truly step into my and know what that means and how I want that to look for the world, then I was able to hold on to the faith that what was for me will be for me and be beyond my imagination, and nothing will ever stop it. Nothing can change that, because it's already ordained for my life. So
more now.
That's what it is for me.
Right.
It's so knowing that was unlocked everything, honestly. Knowing who I was and not being afraid to live in the fullness of that. And not being ashamed to say what I want for my life.
Right. Right. You get to decide, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, that's okay that you think that, you know, you see yourself in some other place than where someone else may think that you should be. That doesn't mean that you think you're better than them or anything else. It's this is what I know for myself to be true.
Yeah. And COVID, you know, and I hate relating everything back to COVID, but it was an acceleration of how precious life is for me. You know, it was an acceleration of the fact that you need to be enjoying. This is not a dress rehearsal. We are live. We're actually living. You know, you don't get too many chances to figure it out later. You know, because you never, you, these days are and nights are unpredictable, you know, and the only thing that you can rally on is what you believe about yourself, you know, and how you, and for the art, if you get an opportunity or blessing to be able to create, I'm also part of the industry, to be able to do that and be full about it and intentional about it. And you don't have to have it all lined up because life isn't lined up, you know, but you just have to make the commitment to move it forward, you know?
Yeah, I love what you say. You keep using the word intention. I love when you say that because that is so important to me. I have so much intention about the things that I do in my career with my and my life in general, but definitely about my career, you know, I have to make the decisions that are right for me. And that those decisions honestly are not about financial things for me. Mm. For me, it's about what is this message going to be for the world? How is it going to help someone or teach someone, open someone's eyes in some way? That doesn't mean it's always dramatic. Harlem is a comedy. It's so much fun, but it also brings a depth and truth and opens people's eyes to so many different things. So I just have a lot of intention about that, which I'm so grateful that I've been able to follow through with those things and the experiences that I've had artistically. And, you know, I said no to plenty of things because I said, you know, this is not in alignment with me at this moment. But thank you for thinking of me. You know, I'm on another path right now.
Mm, that is beautiful. And that's like the key to success. Because, you know, what is success, you know? And that right there, self-actualization, that self-intended success is success.
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, and Oprah always said this. I live for Oprah. She, you know, because I walk with this intention and the purpose and the thing that means something to me, the money ultimately comes. Like, that's not... focus on, like, once you're living in your passion and your truth, there's no way that that's not going to be fruitful, and it always has been.
Never.
Faith.
You're absolutely, please remember that. Do not make money your God. Don't make money the first thing that detours you from anything. Walk on faith. The money will find you. It always does. You know, I had to have some hard, you know, and I, listen, if there's anything that I can share about that particular piece to be accurate. You know, money always shows up and it's the easy part, quite frankly, you know, it really is. You know, you just have to, your intention and what you want to do, like the idea of it. That's it. That's it first.
That's the money.
That's the value, you know, anybody can give you some greenbacks, but you know, the value is in the, well, we call them intellectual property, but the value is in the idea. The value is in what you choose to do and how you plant your flag, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm enjoying it. We are both enjoying it.
Absolutely. You are a pleasure. A pleasure.
Thank you.
And
thank
if
you.
I was your mom, I'd be proud too. And I'm proud of you and I'm not your mom. I'm not even your stepmom. And I'm still proud.
Thank you.
You're a beautiful spirit.
Yes, she has a lot to be proud of. You are her living legacy. So,
and C. Maria Stokes says, Jonathan, I love your energy. She also said, preach a little bit, you know. Preach.
Yeah, that's my auntie. This is family hour.
That's what's up. That's what's up. When your family supports you in everything that you do, including interviews, that is the dopest thing. That speaks volumes. Not just when you walk across and accept that award you're about to get, but
claim it.
We're claiming it for you because, you know, you deserve it.
Thank you. Support. Family support is so important. Oh, my gosh. I honestly am so grateful for them for allowing me to pursue my dream in the way, you know, a lot of families, especially Black families, honestly, you know, can't have that freedom often to explore their passion because they're trying to make ends meet.
Right.
I've been very grateful and thankful for my family for being so supportive and allowing me to pursue that. And here we are. And so they love it.
Nice.
90-year-old Nana is watching her Jonathan too. All right,
Nana. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Well, you got the elders nodding. You know,
you can't go wrong. You can't.
Yeah.
So it seems like you have a lot of strong women in your corner.
Mm-hmm. Many.
What is that? I don't know. What does that do for you, say to you about women, black women, your women?
Listen, there is no greater human on the earth than a black woman, and I will stand by that for 100% every day, all day. Like, you guys have the world on your shoulders, and you continue to carry more of us on it, on your back. Like, we are here literally because of black women. So I honor every black woman on this earth, especially the ones that raised me. I love them, and I just want to make them proud. They've been so wonderful and instrumental in my growth and, like, championing me. I can't speak any more highly of black women, especially my mama and my grandmother and my aunt. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's time now, Therese, to rapid fire.
I think so, too. Oh, okay. Well, Jonathan, we like to play a little game. And it's a word association game. You know, we're not gonna do anything crazy.
Okay.
It's a word association game, and it just gives folks the peek behind the veil because you don't know what's coming. That's why we call them rapid fire. So no wrong answer. They're all yours. The first thing that comes to mind, you say. I'll go first with a series of words, and then Javon will go right after.
Okay.
So that's the agreement, right?
Yes.
Let me know.
I'm ready.
Okay. Theater.
Joy.
Director.
Leader.
King.
God.
Love.
Family.
Money.
Green.
Success.
Passion.
Partnership.
Love.
Community.
People.
And my last one will be my last one is going to be God.
Spirit.
Javon, you're up next. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. I love it.
Bojangles.
Dance.
Steppin' Fletcher.
Face.
Blackface.
Racism.
Sydney.
Poitier. That's a word, but...
Sydney Poitier.
Yeah. Great.
Langston Hughes.
Poet.
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, bliss.
Prince.
Power.
Nat King Cole.
Smooth.
Chaka Khan.
Fire.
And my last one, motherhood.
Growth.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was listening to Shaka this morning.
Were you?
Well, I listened to a lot more in the clearly. Sade, Shaka, yeah.
That's what's up. Nice. Thank you so much. That was dope. So we found out what you can't do, what you can't do yet.
Yes.
So we need a drop, actually two drops from you. Okay. So the first one is, hi, this is Jonathan Burke, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hi, this is Jonathan Burke, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Perfect. I mean, he's
one take.
One take.
He's showing off.
I know, because his mom is watching, right?
Yeah, right?
Or is it because of Nana? I don't know.
Banana doesn't play.
I bet. Okay, and the next one is, hi, this is Jonathan Burke, and you're listening to WJBR Internet Radio.
Hi, this is Jonathan Burke, and you're listening to WJBR Internet Radio.
Perfect.
Woo! I'm saying, I mean, like, nice. No nice, big, nice. I mean, no, let me write that down, nothing, nothing.
Well, you know, I'm not my first time at the rodeo.
Okay. He's like, this is not my, okay.
So we have a 24-hour radio station, and that's where these drops go. And it also, she likes to chop. Javon is very good at chopping stuff up and doing outros and intros for the show. So if you hang on and see the outro, you'll see where they apply. And we like the bloopers because we love the bloopers. It's perfect.
Yeah,
the bloopers
yeah.
are perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this guy doesn't bloop. He's just
no, he doesn't
like bloop. He's like perfection.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do with this?
He's got eyes.
Like, I woke up this way. I can't help it.
Yeah, me and Beyonce.
So let me just ask you this. What, and then I need to know how everyone can follow you, but what do you do for fun? Just fun.
Well, I love playing games with friends, like board games, card games, spades, like Taboo, you know, those type of games. I'm very much into community and winning.
And winning?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm a winner at game. Yeah, I'm very competitive, actually.
All right. So we may just have to see, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Because
okay,
what we're not going to do at the end of this interview is go into spades.
Okay.
Faith is one of my religions.
Yeah.
You're a New Yorker, so you're easy to find.
Let's do it.
We can get you down to the table to see what you really got.
I'm ready. I'm down.
Well, do you have a partner you play with?
Yeah.
Regularly?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Pop, are you listening to this?
See, this is the thing. See, y'all, you and Kat and you and your partner, y'all could play against each other. But see, I would be most impressed when you switch partners. See, I'm gonna tell you why. Because okay. even though you may not do it intentionally and you may not know it, if you have that steady partner, y'all have tells. You can look at your partner and tell when they got a good hand. You could tell. Yeah. You could just tell certain things. So. When you're playing teamed up against someone who's really good, and your partner is also playing with someone else who's really good, and you're not partnered with your partner, but your partner's partnered with somebody else, and you're partnered with somebody else, that's when you know you're a baller.
Yeah, that's okay. I get
that,
you.
That's just my
opinion.
We're
used to playing tournaments though, and there's not a lot of that going on. You know,
no. I know.
Yeah, you got to keep it real PNG because you can get taught, you know, so it's got to be you. We're not even looking at each other. We're watching the board, you know.
Yeah.
You glance. Yeah,
huh?
You got to glance. You got to glance at your partner.
It's so fun cheating. Any true space player will know it's so much fun just cracking somebody's time part that we are the 6-year reigning champions. We just.
Ooh, okay.
Competitive juices flowing now, Jonathan? Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Pop, you got to make this happen, Pop.
Exactly.
We got to get him on the table. Pop also plays space now.
Okay, let's do it.
Do it.
I'm always down. Literally any day I will play space. If someone called me right now and said, let's play space, I will do it. Like,
That's what's up. I have a friend that's like that with Taboo. Oh my God! Every time I see her, she walks with the god doggone Taboo. Okay, are we inviting Teresa tonight? You up for Taboo? But that's cool, man. So, how can everybody follow you? Can everybody watch your show? How can they? You know, what's your social media like?
Well, you can watch Harlem on Amazon Prime Video, streaming all 10 episodes now and forever, hopefully. You can follow me on Instagram at it's Jonathan Burke. That's at itsjonathanburke. You can follow me on Twitter at it's John Burke. That's at itsjonburke. Or on Facebook at just my name, Jonathan Burke.
Awesome.
And then you can follow Not Looking, my series. Please follow us as well. That's Not Looking the Series on Instagram. And the website is www.notlookingtheseries.com.
So wait a minute. You know what? I think, I'm sorry. I have to retract now. When you mentioned it before that you had written and co-written this series, I didn't realize that y'all had actually, like, produced it. And it's up there. And it's out there.
Well, it's not out there yet. What it is right now we filmed a pilot that we are using to pitch to network that hopefully will then be released to the masses on one of these other streaming platforms, possibly Amazon Prime. But we're open. If anyone out here is a producer, call me.
Nice.
That is beautiful. So we can see it now. We can see it on Instagram.
You can't watch it. You can only watch a trailer
on
the website. Yeah.
Trailer. Okay. You know what,
Jonathan? Not giving it away.
Send us the trailer, and Saturday we'll play the trailer for everyone to see here so that people can be looking out for it, you know?
Yeah,
and
thank you. I will.
You know? Hey, can't hurt, right?
Absolutely. I appreciate
it. And we're your sisters. We want to support you. That's
Absolutely.
It. That's all we want to do. So you got to come back.
Yeah.
You got to talk to Ulysses about playing spades against Terezi Poo over here, because that's what she do.
Mom.
That's what she do. Yes. And
I would like to create a friendship, but that's not a great way to do that, beating a mistake. But if we must.
I think she does it for the trash talk. I think.
Well, that's the best part. I mean, come on. You can't play it now.
I think that's what it is. So definitely, you know, everybody follow Jonathan Burke. You know, and we're going to watch your trailer. As soon as you send it to us, we'll upload it into our system. And I can't express enough of how excited and happy I am to have met you.
Absolutely.
Because it is like meeting Denzel before the world knew he was Denzel.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
Stop. Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. Don't stop.
I love it. It's been so much fun. I'm so glad to know you both. Thanks for having me. It's really been a joy. So I love what you all are doing. Keep rocking it, and I would love to come back anytime.
Oh, that, see,
when he gets his award, when he gets the NAACP award, he can come back and show us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that anyway. I was gonna say, well, you got to come back, but you know, since you anytime you do anything, or you're not doing anything, you just say, you know what, I want to come hang with y'all. With y'all got people. If y'all don't got people, you want me to just come through? Yes, we want you to come through. We always want you to come through. All right.
I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. Rezi Poo, love you to pieces. Bye, Mom, Grandma, Auntie,
Nana. Bye, Grandma.
Bye.
What's up, everybody? This is Cy Smith, and you are in the basement with Javon and Therese. In the basement with Javon and Therese. In the basement. With Javon and Therese, with the basement, hey, with Javon and Therese.
Ooh, I dig that.
Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend of mine. I already know it. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway, no, she doesn't. She wasn't even there actually. But anyway,
all our offers though, Jay.
I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
Latan, so.
And we thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just use it.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr.
Ooh.
Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.